We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is in our midst, who will teach us how to pray. Teach us, O God, as you taught your disciples. Thank you, Father. We release the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, to build us on your word in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at the laws of prayer. And many times when Christians talk about prayer, they think only there's only one type of prayer. Prayer is prayer, communicating with God. But there are many different types of prayer that are involved. And each type of prayer will demand the use of different types of rules and application. Different laws operate different types of prayer. And if you use one type of rules to apply for the other, it may cancel off your prayer's effectiveness in the other type of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 18. After having told the Ephesian Christians to put on the whole armor of God, verse 18 tells us, praying with always the all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It says praying always with all prayer. In some versions it says praying always with all kinds of prayer. All types of prayer. In other words, there are more than one kind of prayer. And we are going to look at just a few basic types of prayer. There are many others besides what we have listed. And here's the verse that tells us that we are exhorted to pray with all kinds of prayer. Praying with all types of prayer. Because all these different types of prayer will bring different effects into our lives. Different types of prayer are like the different rules of a game. For example, you can use a soccer game and a badminton game. But the rules that apply to a badminton game do not apply to a soccer game. Remember, there are different rules for each type of different games. Like tennis will demand rules for tennis. So each type of game demands different rules. In the same way, each type of prayer demands a different application of the principles in God's Word. Sometimes they seem to contradict each other, but remember, there are different types of prayer. Just as there are different types of rules for games. You will notice that the prayer of faith, you cannot use it. But the prayer of dedication, you can use it. And so if you pray the wrong kind of prayer for the wrong situation, it blocks your receiving end. God cannot violate His rules. You may say, well, God is our Father, why don't you just give it to us? No, God cannot violate His own laws. God does not violate His own laws, nor does He violate His word. There's too much echo on this. Could we adjust that? God cannot violate His own laws and rules when it comes to answering our prayers. He flows according to the patterns that He has set. And you will notice that in the first part of your notes that we have mentioned there, notes are given to you, lesson 7, Ephesians 6 is mentioned. Hebrews 5 verse 7 is a portion that I would like you to turn to as we introduce ourselves and see the importance of prayer to all of our lives. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Talking about Jesus, it says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. He was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It refers to Jesus Christ here, that Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, we all know that familiar account, how he travailed in prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. Here in verse 7 it says, Jesus, who in the days of his earthly life, in his flesh, I believe that refers to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that also refers to all his life. His whole life was a life of prayer. From the time that he grew up in Mary and Joseph's house, up to the time that he faced the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, it refers to his prayer burden that he carried. But the climax came in the Garden of Gethsemane. As Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it reached a climax where it tells us here that he cried unto God. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us how he prayed with such agonizing prayer that the blood came out as sweat. He was sweating blood. That was how much travail he entered into. And the Bible here says in Hebrews 5 verse 7 that Jesus Christ was heard. In other words, Jesus Christ's prayer was answered before he went to the cross. He had already prayed through. If Jesus Christ did not pray through and was not effective in prayer, there would have been no breakthrough at the cross. In other words, he may not have been resurrected if he had failed in his prayer. It says that Jesus in verse 7 of Hebrews 5 was heard. He was heard by God. He was heard by God, and God answered his prayer. God saved him from death. He died, but he was saved from death. He was resurrected. That is significant because the success of Jesus' ministry depended on his prayer. If Jesus had not learned to pray, he would have failed in the work on the cross. The work on the cross hinges, depends upon his prayer life. And our success or failure as a Christian depends on the success of our prayer life. Even if you are called to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, there is no guarantee of your success. Judas was called to be an apostle, but he failed miserably. Your call based on his grace is no guarantee of success. No matter what area of work you are called into, whether God has called you to function in your secular job or in the ministry, your success or failure rests upon your learning the art of praying and getting results. Prayer is so important to the whole of our Christian life, to the whole of our Christian ministry. And in fact, prayer is the most basic. If we do not know how to come before God and have an audience before God, to have a God who answers. The difference between the God whom other people serve with a small g is that there, as the Bible says, have ears but cannot hear, have mouth that cannot talk. And we claim to serve the true and the living God who hears our prayers, who answers us. And yet it's surprising that many Christians do not learn how to come to God in such a way that they receive answers from God. God is a God who answers. Otherwise, it's no difference between serving our God and a dumb idol. No, there is a difference because our God is a living God. He does not sleep nor slumber. He is not like the gods of the Baal worshippers in the book of 1 Kings 19, where Elijah told them, well, shout louder. Maybe your God went on a journey, etc., etc. Maybe your God is sleeping, etc. No, our God is not like that. Our God answers prayer. Say, God answers prayer. God hears me when I cry. God hears me when I pray. God is a God who sees and who hears and who answers. Now, as we approach God in prayer, we must make sure that every one of us who is born again has the confidence that whatever you do, God's eyes are upon you. You have an audience with God the moment you're born again as a believer. You can enter by the blood of Jesus to the most holy place of God to obtain an audience with God. by his blood, by his righteousness, not by our own righteousness. But many times when people approach God, they always felt, and sometimes their feelings are not there, so they say, God did not hear. It's just like one dear old lady who came to Kenneth Hagin, and that dear old lady says to him, I don't know why God never hears me. God never seems to hear me when I pray unto him. And how I know is because he never answers, therefore he must not have heard me when I pray. And so the dear old lady talked that way, and finally our friend Hagin said, well, you believe that God didn't hear you? Yeah, God didn't hear me. Everything I say, he never hear me. Well, why don't you scold God now? Say, scold God. Yeah, why don't you say something terrible about God after he never heard you? You say God never hear you. So she said, no. If I do that, he will hear me. So the next time you're thinking about that, I don't know why God doesn't seem to feel him, doesn't seem to be real, he doesn't seem to be hearing me. You must realize that the devil has sort of brainwashed our feelings. He has sort of caused us who have lived so long in sin and in the ways of the world to be sin conscious instead of God conscious. So if there's any single one of you who believe that God does not hear you when you pray, then why don't you try and scold God? And if you say, hey, I cannot scold God because if I scold him something, he will hear me. But you're contradicting yourself. When you do something wrong, do you believe that God hears you or sees you? You do. The devil will even tell you that. When you sin, when you fall, what is your consciousness? You say, God knows it. God knew it. There is no shadow of a doubt that you know God knew. So when you say something wrong, when you do something wrong, you are 100% conscious that God hears you. But then when it comes to time when you didn't do anything wrong, but you're just praying in order to get results, you think God never hear me. What is happening here is that Satan has caused people to be more sin conscious. When they sin, then only they're conscious of God as the judgmental God. But when they are not living in sin, they pray and they say, God never hear. I want you to know that all the time, 100% of the time, 24 hours a day, God hears everything you say. God sees everything you do. God knows it. Whether you're sinning or whether you're living right, every prayer you pray, God hears. Say, God hears me when I pray. He does not only hear me and see me when I sin. He hears and he sees me when I'm not sinning, when I'm talking to him all the time. So the first principle that we're going to cover, the first section, is how to approach God, how to pray to him. Many Christians, as they come into God and they learn to pray, some of them, you'll hear them pray, oh Jesus, we pray for this and we pray for that, bless the brother Tan Akau, bless Ramasamy too, he needs some help, oh Lord, bless son of Tan Akau, and you know, he's expecting. And, you know, Mrs. Tan Ashib also needs help, etc. And you're praying for all these things. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you bless your people. We pray that you bless my family. We pray that you... And they're praying to Jesus. They're praying to Jesus. But when we ask them about the Father God, they say, well, I talk to Jesus is the same. At least it's not too bad like some others who try to talk to Jesus through the saints. At least here they are talking to Jesus. But as they are talking to Jesus, they are contradicting one of the most fundamental facts about prayer. And the reason why many people are not getting their prayers answered is because they pray to the wrong person. Say, God, they asked you to say that. God is three persons. Maybe you love God so much you just want to talk to Him. God is three persons. He's the Father, He's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. Most Christians talk to Jesus, or they talk generally to our Father as God. Seldom do they refer to Him in an affectionate manner. They put a distance between themselves and God. And they say, "Oh gracious, almighty, omnipotent God." Remember when you are in trouble, and if you were Peter on the water and you were about to be drowned, walking on the sea, you wouldn't pray, "Gracious, omnipotent, almighty, El Shaddai, Adonai, group, 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 group." There wouldn't be time for you to finish your prayer. So the first part is there to clarify who to pray to. In my early Christian days, I was not taught who to pray to. So I end up saying a little bit to the Father, talking a little bit to the Son, talking a little bit to the Holy Spirit, so that I go all three in. So when I start my prayer, I always start with the Father. And then after that, I go to the Son and talk to Him. And after that, I go to the Holy Spirit and I pray to Him. So I did that for some time. And finally, God showed me in His Word and said, that's not the way that I ask you in my Word to approach me. How did my Word teach you how to pray? I was not taught how to pray, the most basic. And if anyone of you is still praying to Jesus, it's about time for you to change. There's one reason why you never get your prayers answered, because you're always talking to Jesus and praying to Him. The Word of God tells you to pray to the Father. You pray to the Father. All official prayer must go to the Father. To the Father. Jesus taught His disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. He says, now this is our Lord Jesus teaching us. He knew He was going to be resurrected. He knew the end of His life and ministry is going to be the right hand of God. But Jesus is telling us in Matthew 6 verse 9, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Come. So we see that Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father. And Jesus is teaching you to refer to our God as Father. Born again, and you have been referring to God in general terms, please change. Please change. I'm sure none of you will call your Father as, for example, James is not here tonight. James wouldn't call our brother Albert Celia. Even when at home he needs something, he needs to talk to his daddy, he says, "Mr. Albert Celia." He wouldn't call that. The same as Joanne and Sharon would not call Brother James Amos. He would not call, they would not call Mr. James Amos. James Amos would come with big fat cane. And they would call Daddy. I don't know how they call you. What do they call you? Papa. So they will call Papa. Papa. That's what they will call. They want to call Mr. James Amos. We are in the family of God. God wants us. What you say is what you are, what you your relationship is to God. The world tries to reach to God and say, "Oh God, who made the heavens and the earth, the creator of the universe, etc., etc." Now what's the point of being the creator of the universe if He's not your Father? You got no right to talk to Him. In the same way, President Reagan may have children. The children will come to him and they will say, "Mr. President Reagan?" No, the children will still come to him and say, "Daddy." No matter what position they hold in life, no matter what their work, no matter what they can do, they will still call daddy because they are in the family. To all his other cabinet ministers, they will call Mr. President, but to his own family, they call him daddy, daddy, or papa, or pa, whatever. It will be very odd, if within the same family you call each other by the full name. What happens if your full name is very long? Dato, and Tantari, so and so. Do you expect your children to call you that? No, society does. But within your own family, you don't. You have a close relationship. And Jesus tells us to call the Father, our Father. Call him our Father. Call him, oh Papa who are in heaven. Now it sounds blasphemous to some. That is because tradition has bound them under God, is so far away from them. God wants us to know him as Father. He may be the creator of the universe. He may be in control of all the powers and authority of the universe. But he wants us to know him as Papa, Abba, Father, which is, in our language would mean Daddy. And I'm sure you got a name in Indian for Daddy, what is that? Appa. Appa. Is that the same? It sounds all the same, man. Appa. Right. They will call their fathers that way. Jesus said, call him Father. Our Father. Let's look at Jesus' prayer. Jesus' life is an example to us. There was never one time when our Lord Jesus called our Father God except on the cross. Every time he talked to our Father, he said, Father, John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father. He called him Father. We are taught to pray to our God, our Father, the close and intimate way. In Paul's prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, they are all over the place, but I'll show you from Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. 16-17. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, calls him Father. Then in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Our Father. Officially, when you pray, you are exhorted to pray to the Father. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus has this to say in John chapter 7, John, Gospel of John, tells us explicitly in his word in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus said, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now Jesus is telling us, in that day you won't ask me, you will ask the Father. Tell me, what day is he talking about? He said, in that day. In that day, you will ask me nothing. You will not pray to me, he said. But in that day, you will pray to the Father using my name. If you look at the context, he's referring to the day when the Holy Spirit comes down. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, comes in us and upon us, through the Holy Spirit in us and upon us, we can approach the Father. That day refers to the day of the Holy Spirit, which is our time. We live in the day of the Holy Spirit. He says in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. All things, in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that He will take of mine and declare it to you. So He talks about the day. The day when He's going to be resurrected and we are going to receive the Holy Spirit in us. In other words, when we are born again. The day will come, that day. In that day, you will no more pray to me, you will pray to the Father. In that day, when is that day? That is the day when we are born again, the Holy Spirit came into our heart. Says, you will no more pray to me, you will pray to the Father using my name. And a lot of Christians are not getting answers because they are praying to Jesus still. Saying, Jesus, will you do this for me? Jesus, and Jesus that, and Jesus this. But they are supposed to pray to the Father using the name of Jesus. And Jesus even tells us here in verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, 27. In that day you will ask in my name. Again, it's in that day. When the Holy Spirit has come into your life, in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Jesus himself said that I shall pray to you. You know that Jesus intercedes for us. But he's telling us that we can directly pray to the Father without even him. That I have shown you here in the verse 26. I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you. He's telling us here, explicitly he's telling us, don't come to me and then ask me to go to the Father. You go to the Father. He's telling us, in that day you don't ask me anything. You won't ask me anything. You go and ask there. See, many people think that we ask Jesus and Jesus approach to the Father for us. Now, if Jesus don't want us to approach Him, to approach the Father, how much more Jesus doesn't want us to try His mother too? If Jesus himself says, you don't come to me, how much more the mother? And how much more the other saints who have gone to be with God? Jesus is telling us, all of you just go direct to the Father, use my name, I give you my name. He says, the Father loves you. He tells us that in verse 27. This is for our comfort. He says, the Father himself loves you. Why you make the Father so approachable? Have you seen any child or any children, every time when they go to the Father, always must seek someone else? They will approach a third party to go to the Father. I think when they keep doing that, they haven't developed a relationship with their own Father. No, we wouldn't do that. In the same way that we also know that in a family, we do not allow the children to keep going through somebody else, through somebody. In the end, they never relate to the Father. But our Father wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His Son, that He loves us. And if He loves us so much, what is this playing game? Going around in the corner, trying to reach Him. If God loves us so much and has so much confidence in us, how is it we do not have confidence in coming to Him? There is a tradition that has bound people so that they do not know that God loves them. Our Father is a loving Father. He does not turn people away. People try to make Him unapproachable, but He made Himself approachable.
prayer is to the Father using Jesus' name. From this day forward, don't you ever pray to Jesus. Don't you ever pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father using Jesus' name. All of your prayers, pray to the Father. And don't give him long, long titles until you forgot that he's your Father. You may drown halfway. Then the question is asked, what about our relationship to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit? Alright? So let's clarify our relationship with Jesus. In all the work of Jesus that has been completed at the cross on our behalf and in his resurrection, we can make demands on that using his name. Or proclaiming his work. Like, for example, when it comes to forgiveness of sin, which is a work of Christ, the baptism in the Spirit, which is a work of Christ, healing, which is a work of Christ, we all go to the proclamation of Jesus. So when we lead someone to be born again, the first thing they do is they have to ask Jesus into their heart. Because it is a work of Christ in salvation. And then when we get people to be baptized in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the baptizer. So they will have to ask Jesus to baptize them in the Spirit. And then when it comes in reference to healing, he is and he has the title of healer. Then we can proclaim, like Peter proclaimed to Aeneas. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals thee. It is not a prayer, it's a proclamation. He proclaimed, Jesus Christ heals thee. The word of Christ, in reference to the word of Christ, you can make mention of his name. In addition to that, you can exalt the name of Jesus. You can worship the name of Jesus. You can have fellowship with Jesus in worship, but not prayer. That means you can say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I adore you. This is not praying. Prayer is making requests. The Greek word for prayer is actually, it means making requests. But what you're doing is you're exalting that name. You can worship that name. You can love him. You can fellowship with him. You can talk to him and say, Jesus, I love you. I just want to yield myself to you. You can fellowship with him. But when you come to prayer, you pray to the Father using his name. Just like the early church in Acts chapter 4. Notice who they pray to in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In verse 24, when they started off, it looks as if they're praying to Jesus, but look carefully, it's not. And they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your Holy Servant Jesus. Now who are they talking to? The Father. Although they use the word Lord, they are referring to the Father. To the Father. Then they try to pray about his Son. And he says, stretch forth in verse 30. Stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're talking to the Father again. They're telling the Father, Father, exalt that name. Stretch forth your mighty hand to heal by the name of Jesus. So during the whole prayer, their focus was on the person of the Father. They make mention of Jesus' name. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but their prayer was to to the Father. That's the way we should pray. To the Father. The direction is to the Father. Because from the Father flows all the answers of our prayer. It's the Father to whom we must relate to. Some people are very vain in their prayer. They say, "Oh Lord, we pray that you give us this one and that one. Oh Lord, oh praise God." Every sentence ends with Lord. You know, when we all start praying, we learn. And sometimes we are not conscious of it ourselves until somebody tells us. When I was first learning to pray out loud, almost every sentence ends with Lord. We thank you, Lord, and Lord, you know that we all just need more strength from you, oh Lord, and grant more grace unto your people, oh Lord, and teach us your word, Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and too many Lords. Could you imagine coming to the Father and start talking to your early Father? Let's suppose Joanne comes to Brother James Amos and say, "Father, I remember to do the thing that I asked you to do. Father, remember that other thing also. And Father, you know, this. And Father," we don't do that in the natural. So when you come to our Father in heaven, why do you do that to him? Jesus did call the Father several times in his prayer in John 17, but it was not redundant. He didn't end with the Father or Lord every sentence. We have to learn to talk normally with God. The reason we cannot do that is because we are too conscious of ourselves and we are not relaxed in God's presence. And God prefers that you relax and talk to him normally rather than you get all tense up when you come before him. After all, you're already washed in the blood and you come by righteousness, not by your own strength. We pray to the Father. We relate to the Son in the aspect of his work. We can exalt him and worship him. Now you don't have to worry that the Father will get jealous of the Son, or the Son jealous of the Father, and the Holy Spirit jealous of Jesus. You don't have to worry about that, because whoever gets exalted, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are pleased. If you remember Philippians chapter 2, it will help you. Where it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And check out that word, to the glory of the Father. In other words, every time Jesus is exalted, the Father is glorified. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so related. Every time the Son is glorified, the Father is also glorified. Every time the Father is glorified, the Son is also glorified. They are one. Say, what about the Holy Spirit? Never pray to the Holy Spirit, never worship the Holy Spirit, and never praise the Holy Spirit, because he does not want you to do it. Not because he is not worthy. Remember, the Holy Spirit has come to lift up Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit has come to tell you, "I'm here to teach you to worship there, the Father and the Son." So the Holy Spirit does not want you to worship him or praise him. The Holy Spirit wants you to praise Jesus, worship the Father and the Son, but not him. I can prove it to you. In the Bible, you will notice that when there is a glimpse of heaven, you will only find two thrones in heaven. Two key thrones, because we are not talking about 24 elders and all those smaller ones. God's throne is two. You see the Father, and you see Jesus sitting at his right hand. We know that the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and as Jesus. Why doesn't he have a throne? Because the Holy Spirit does not want our worship. He wants our worship to go to the Father and the Son. See, a throne is a place where you bring your worship. And there are two thrones which the whole creation and universe comes to. The Father's throne and Jesus at his right hand. And it tells us here, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 14. He, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will glorify me. And when the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is coming to glorify Jesus, that means that He will not glorify Himself. So what shall we do about the Holy Spirit? This is what you do. You can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship involves talking and sharing. I can talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, just help me. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Holy Spirit, I yield my whole self to you. There are some songs that we sing that say, come Holy Spirit, I need you. We do sing to the Holy Spirit in our fellowship. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. You can relate to the Holy Spirit. And to do that, you do need to strike up a relationship. You do need to learn to fellowship the Holy Spirit. You can always say, Holy Spirit, let's go together. Holy Spirit, let's witness together. Holy Spirit, let us preach together. Holy Spirit, let's go into the hospital together. Holy Spirit, let's go along. Holy Spirit is with you all the time. You can relate to Him as a person. But you don't worship Him or glorify Him. You glorify Jesus. You glorify Jesus. He is here to glorify Jesus. Learn to relate properly. In regard to prayer, let's summarize again. You must always come to the Father in Jesus' name through His Holy Spirit. Let me yield it to the Holy Spirit. You can say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Teach me to pray right now. And say, Jesus, I thank you for opening a way for me to come to the Father so that I can come by your blood and righteousness. And then you come to the Father and say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I want to pray for this problem. I'm just bringing before you, and I know you have heard me even while I'm talking. Just talk to Him. Prayer is simply conversation with God. You don't have to use King James English, because God not only speaks English, He speaks all the languages of the world, plus heavenly languages. You don't have to make it official. Prayer is talking your heart out to God. Learn to talk out loud to God in your private life. Whatever is in your heart, just pour it out to Him. You don't have to beautify it with beautiful words and pray to the Father using a dictionary next to you. You don't even have to pray in rhythm. Like, you know, oh Father, through thy cross I bring. Let me never ever cling to anything. You don't even have to try to rhyme your prayers. You just come and talk the way you are. If you talk Texan, just come and pray Texan to Him. He understands. He will even say, howdy son. You pray in your own way to God. Pray in your own vocabulary. God will not be bothered about your grammatical error also. He wouldn't say, hey, son, that is is and not are. You broke a grammatical rule, I'm not answering you. God may be perfect, but He puts up with all our imperfections because your prayers are offered through the blood. By the time it passes through the blood, it is perfected for God to receive it. Just talk to God. In the same way as you talk to a human being, talk to God who is a spirit being. Just talk to Him. That's all. Talk. Your normal talk. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the different kinds of prayer we have listed. Different kinds of prayer. And the first type of prayer that we have listed for you, we have listed some. Remember, this is not exhaustive. This is only foundation. That means we only list the basic types of prayer for you. We list the five types. The first type of prayer is called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is an important prayer for us to learn to pray even when we come into the family of God. Salvation, baptism in the Spirit, healing, all requires the prayer of faith. In all these areas, it takes a prayer of faith to receive them. Healing requires the prayer of faith. Remember James, it tells us that the prayer of faith shall save, or sozo, heal the sick. The prayer of faith. So it takes a prayer of faith to achieve results in all the promises of God. All the promises of God, anything that God has promised us, prosperity, healing, a solution to certain things in our life, salvation, forgiveness of sins, all these areas are touched by the prayer of faith. It is a major area of prayer in the Christian life. And in the prayer of faith, you never ever pray with an if. Or you never pray with, if it be thy will. There is no possible way for you to pray the prayer of faith if you are still not sure of God's will. By the time you pray the prayer of faith, you must know without a shadow of a doubt that it is the will of God. A lot of people pray healing using the prayer of dedication, but that is the wrong kind of prayer to use. You won't get healing by the prayer of dedication, you get healing by the prayer of faith. You can go to a person and say, oh God, if it be thy will, please heal this person. If it's not your will, please bury him by faster, okay, bury him. I wouldn't want you to pray for me when I need that kind of prayer. But if you leave the laws of hell, you wouldn't need that. But if there's anybody who needs that kind of prayer for healing, that will be the last person the person will come to is you. That's why many people don't get results. They try to get healing by the prayer of dedication instead of the prayer of faith. You are not allowed to use if. If would imply doubt. Uncertainty. You cannot use if in all these areas. You cannot use if to raise a paralyzed man. You cannot use if to raise the dead. You have to be sure. So a lot of people try to use other types of prayer to pray for these kind of areas, for healing, raising the dead. It takes the prayer of faith. If you have doubt, it will never work. Not one bit, it will not work at all. You don't use other forms of prayer, other types of prayer for all these other areas. The faith is the only key that requires it. The prayer of faith is mentioned in Mark 11:23-24. Let's turn to that. Mark 11:23-24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Then verse 24. Therefore, Jesus said, I say to you, whatever things you ask, same word for prayer, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That summarizes the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is offering up to God a prayer, whatever it is. It must be covered by the Word of God. You cannot pray the prayer of faith over something that God's Word does not cover. See, God's Word is your borderline and your boundary line. If you walk outside of God's Word, it's not faith, it's presumption. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So if you're in an area where God's Word did not promise anything, where do you get your faith? If faith came from by hearing God's Word, where do you get your so-called faith? That is not so-called faith. That is called presumption, which is a fleshly confidence. Loudness and confidence are not necessarily produced just by God's Word. God's Word produces a spiritual type of confidence, but there is a false human confidence which is not based on God's Word. We are talking about things that are in line with the written word. There is no way you can pray the prayer of faith over things that are not covered in the word of God. No way. It has to be things covered by the written word. We'll touch on the written word. Faith has to come from somewhere when you pray the prayer of faith. It comes from two sources: the written word or the spoken word. The written word or the spoken word both produces faith in your life. The written word is what you have in front of you written there in black and white. Study it, it covers a lot of areas. The spoken word would be what God personally speaks to you. He gives you a rhema. That rhema will bring you faith to pray the prayer of faith. For example, if God has called me to build a building that costs $10 million, then God will have spoken a rhema to me. That rhema produces faith. I could pray and believe and decide, receive, that's all. But I wouldn't find it in the written word where God asks you to build a building that costs $10 million. See what we mean? There are certain areas that God's logos and God's written word tells you what to do, what is promised to you. But outside of that, you need the spoken word. It must not contradict the written word. It must flow with the written word. For example, God may call you to have a ministry of giving. And God may tell you, I want you to set up these 10 companies in this manner. Now, to set up all those 10 companies may cost you $1 million. And because God spoke to your heart to do it, you will have faith to pray and say, Father, I believe it is done. That settles it. The spoken word gives you the faith to pray the prayer of faith. But you will not find anywhere in this written word where it talks about your 10 companies. Oh, for example, God can call you to be an evangelist. And God has specified you are an evangelist to Zimbabwe. And you say, alright, I'm an evangelist to Zimbabwe. God spoke to you personally. So you begin to believe God that you're going there. You need to pray the prayer of faith to get there. You know that God has spoken to you. So you receive your faith from the spoken word of God. God tells you to go there. So you pray, you believe, that settles it. And you start acting on that. And you will end up in Zimbabwe. But you won't find that God asks you to go to Zimbabwe in a written way. Not in here. It is a rhema to you, not a logos. We must differentiate that. The difference between a written word and a spoken word. A spoken word is still guided by the written word. It doesn't contradict. In other words, if you claim that God asked you to go and marry 10 wives, you have to check your head. Because the written word says that one man, one wife. Now don't give me the Old Testament example. They were not living in line with God's word. That's why every one of them were more than one wife had problems, including Abraham. And God helped Solomon. A thousand over. So you are violating God's word. In the same way, you cannot take the word of God and go and steal and pray the prayer of faith. You cannot take a lottery ticket, social lottery ticket, put it in your Bible and say, God, I believe it, that settles it. It violates the written word. The written word tells you that the only blessing God gives you are blessings. He bless the work of thy hand. He doesn't bless the ticket in your hand. You have nothing to do that earns it. So God doesn't bless that kind of method because it's against His written word, against His laws. The book of Proverbs tells you that an inheritance that is gotten hastily, or wealth that comes suddenly, or riches that you receive that you didn't earn with your own work, there is a curse involved. So you better don't touch it. It cannot violate, the spoken word does not violate the written word. But yet, there is an area in our life where God specifically tells you. Like I mentioned, I have 14 points. I just updated that to 16 points. 16 points of things that I believe, I sense that God is asking me to fulfill in my life. So I have that written down, and I believe I receive, and every day I give thanks. That are in line with the written word, but are not covered specifically. Remember that. The prayer of faith will have to come in. Into those areas. Some of us think that the prayer of faith only applies to things that are directly written in the law of God, the written word. No, it covers also. If God calls you, for example, to Timbuktu, God calls you to be a teacher to Timbuktu. Let's say God called Brother Philip. Philip Sim to Timbuktu as an international Bible faith teacher. So, okay, he knows God calls him there. Then, when he knows that God calls him there, then he knows that he can exercise faith to go there. What happens is that sometimes people are called to be world international faith Bible teacher to Timbuktu, but they say, if God calls me, God will do it. And they never exercise their faith. They may live up to 99 years old. Hoary headed. Long jangled. Oh, wonder why God didn't do it. I'm still waiting. And you may never get to Timbuktu at all. Because everything that God asks you to do takes faith. And it requires a prayer of faith. If God is speaking unto you to do something with your life, remember it's going to take the prayer of faith to get it too. It's not going to come accidentally. God says it, oh, no, never mind, by itself it will come. No, you got to exercise faith. That means Philip, in his call to be a Bible teacher to Timbuktu, he has to write it down and pray and believe and receive, and then that's it. So one fine day, Sampan turns up to go there. So the prayer of faith is outlined for us. Here are all the techniques that are involved in the prayer of faith, Mark 11, 23-24. It says in verse 24, when you pray, that is point A. When you pray, point A, believe that you receive. The Greek actually says, believe that you have received. Point B, you have received. And then point C, you shall have them. That is point C. So the word of God is telling you, point A, when you pray. Point B, believe you receive. Point C, you shall have them. It uses three different areas of tenses. It is, number one, present tense. When you pray, present tense. And number two, believe that you receive. It's actually an aorist tense. Aorist tense, I don't know what you call it in English. And it's what I call more past than past tense. It is a form of past tense, but it's carried further back. It's a completed past tense. It's very close to our perfect tense in English. Perfected tense. And so some translation, like King James translate as believe that you receive, but actually it's you received, but it's very bad grammar in English, but they have that in the Greek. The closest some translations try to bring it is believe that you have received. Some of your translation RSV will give you believe that you have received, isn't that right? All King James, your New King James will believe that you receive. The Greek word is an aorist tense. An aorist tense is actually a completed past tense. It's not only past, but it is totally finished. It's an action that is like a dot. Completed, no more progression. That means you believe that it's settled. And then the other is a future tense. So the simplified method, I put it plainly, it is like the present tense, the past tense, and the future tense. In one sentence, Mark 11:24, they give you three tenses. Three. One sentence. That is what the prayer of faith is about. When you pray, you believe that you receive. And the day will come, you shall have. That is the manifestation. The prayer of faith believes before you see. The prayer of faith receives before the manifestation. And the prayer of faith is only done once. If you pray the prayer of faith 7 times before you got the answer, 6 times were prayed in unbelief. The prayer of faith is like that. You only pray once when it comes to the prayer of faith. If you pray 14 times to get the answer, 13 times were prayed in unbelief, therefore no answer. The prayer of faith is prayed once and you separate. Between point A and point C, you hold on to point B. I believe I have received. 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 I believe that it's done. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I believe that it is done. So there will be evidence of your faith in your words and in your actions. If you believe that you have received, you must say like it and you must act like it. If you really believe that you're healed and you pray a prayer of faith for healing, you will get up from your sick bed. You will get up and walk. You will lie down and enjoy the sympathies offered to you by being sick. You will get up and act like a normal person after you pray a prayer of faith. And if you pray the prayer of faith for your finances, you won't go around complaining and say, I don't know why it's not around. You have not prayed a prayer of faith. You just pray, but don't know what kind of prayer. When you pray the prayer of faith, you believe you receive. Whether you feel it or not. Sometimes when you pray the prayer of faith, the manifestation has not come. What you have to do? Exercise your faith. Find the good side of faith. When you pray in the realm of finances, you believe, you receive, and you don't act like it, you're also not acting your faith out. You have to talk like it. You have to behave like it. You have to praise God all the way from point A to point C. That's the gist of the prayer of faith. Learn to pray the prayer of faith in all those areas. The prayer of faith will help you to receive all kinds of things in this life, pertaining to this life. Whether it be finances, whether it be the baptism in the Spirit, all these areas, it will help you to receive. The baptism in the Spirit is supposed to be received by faith, not by feelings. I know that there are some people who go just by feelings, but the Bible tells us we receive the Spirit by faith. I give you a word, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Very obviously the answer is by the hearing of faith. We receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. We hear, we believe, we receive. That's all. When you want to be baptized with the Spirit, you just pray the prayer of faith. Jesus, I thank you that the baptizer baptized me in the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I believe I receive. And your word says in your name that you speak in tongues. Thank you, Lord, I can speak in new tongues now, and I'll speak it, and you speak it for. That's all. The prayer of faith will bring all those things that Jesus worked for you. Whether it be baptized in the Spirit, salvation, healing, prosperity, all those areas that cover the things in this life, you can pray the prayer of faith. you pray only once. And in order to help you record it down, I keep a record of prayer of faith that I made. You pray only once. You say, "Brother, what do I do the rest of the time?" "Oh, I just praise God. I just worship God." Say, "What happened if I doubt?" Fight the doubt with the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is for. It's the antidote for doubt. Don't ever pray, "Oh God, if you are willing, please send me my house to rent. You know that it is time. Oh Lord, if it be thy will, it better be thy will." Otherwise, the next time we will see you under the coconut tree. "If it be thy will." You see what people are doing? They are praying the prayer of dedication for where the prayer of faith is necessary. It will be just like some dumb guy who wears his sporting shorts and not sports shirt, sports shirt, takes his badminton racket, put on his badminton shoes, and run to the soccer field. And while everyone is kicking the ball, he tries to use the badminton racket for the ball. Before long, they lock him up in the lunatic asylum. The funny farm, we call that. We know nobody do that. Neither do you take a football and put it there as a shuttlecock for your badminton. Your badminton racket wouldn't last long. We don't do that when it comes to all these areas of different games. In the same way, there are different types of prayer. You don't take a prayer of dedication and come and pray here in a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, you must completely eradicate doubt. If, maybe, no such thing. If you still cannot tell whether it's God's will or not, you can never pray the prayer of faith. You are only able to pray the prayer of faith where you know that it's the will of God. How shall I know it's the will of God? By studying the written word and by hearing the spoken word. By studying the written word, I know what God's general will for my life is. By relating with God and hearing His rhema, I know what God's specific will is for my life, so I can exercise faith in the realm that He has asked me to do His will in this life. We have to pray the prayer of faith for all these things. Everything in this church, we pray the prayer of faith. Everything, the piano, and all these things, all these organs, everything, we pray the prayer of faith. Somebody has to exercise faith for the things to take place, to come in. We saw a DX7 long, long ago, when we wanted to purchase one. But we didn't have the cash to purchase one. But I began to see it in my mind. See it in the imagination. And as far as I'm concerned, I already got it. The same way every time they talk to a musician, I always talk about how there's a piano, you know, it's coming here, and it's going to be here, they're going to play it. Because I believe that we receive. I believe that we receive. Sometimes you just have to act out your faith. When we were believing God for the first car, when we were in Penang, our first car was a Daihatsu Sherrod. And when you're first believing it, God for it, people laugh at us. But once in a while, we have what we call a game of faith. You know what we do? We put all the chairs there. Say, "All right, get behind the seats." You want to think that we were nuts. But we had to exercise our faith. And so when the people came into the porch, we said, "Would you mind walking this side of the car? Is there?" "What car?" "Car." And they said, "Where's your car?" And they start looking in the bed. They said, "No, our car is not that small." "So is there?" "Is there? Where? Is there? Can you touch it?" They said, "No, but I can." So they had to walk, you know, at the side into the house. And when we were believing God for the piano, wooden piano, in the house, we say, "All right, let's see. We believe, we receive. Let's see where to put the piano now. Let's go." And we look around, and they say, "All right, let's put it there." So we put the piano there. And every time people come and say, "Don't walk too close there, don't knock our piano, please." They say, "What? say, what a bunch of fanatics. Fanatics are not a good result. And so, whenever people sit the floor, say, will you please sit under the piano too? What? Yes, under the piano. So you go bend down and see the piano. If you were there, you would see a group of cartoons. Say, why is that lady there bending down, sitting? Oh, because she's trying to sit under the piano. See, she don't want to walk through the piano. You have to be careful. And in the same way, many times when we have to print books, etc., when we have to print the little booklet and all these things, it costs thousands of dollars to do it. What do? I pray the prayer of faith that settles it. The next time I go around like a guy who has $10,000 in his bank and negotiate. And that guy whom I'm talking to thinks I got tons of money. No, I'm not happy with this. No, I don't want this quality. No, I want this and this. We go around negotiating, behave as if we got it. Then it's what the prayer of faith does to you. You believe that you receive, and you start acting that way, and you start behaving that way. You believe that it is done. So we will start acting in faith, and the manifestation always comes in. The manifestation always comes in all the approaches. When we had to renovate the place, when we had to expand that site, there I was negotiating over $16,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of chairs and carpets, and there we are negotiating, we hardly got $1,000 in the bank. That guy thinks we got plenty of money. They keep thinking, agreeing with me. At least they are agreeing. But we have to keep believing. We have to keep acting. We cannot afford to let our faith fall. Because we believe we have received in the spirit world. And this time of prayer, the first time, is the only one that gets results. The only reason why today many Christians do not have more than what they have, they do not experience all the blessing of Jesus, is because they're not exercising their faith. Too many times you are praying the prayer of dedication. Oh God, if it be thy will for us to carpet the other side also, would you please show us your will? Or shall we just put the cheapskate chairs on this side? Do you know if I pray that way, some of you, half of you all will be sitting in plastic chairs. Say, oh God, is it your will? Is it your will for us to have a TV? How are we going to determine? Remember, all the silver and gold belong to our Father. You have what you have according to your measure of faith. If you believe that all that God can give you is a little stool, you will receive a little stool. Now don't jump ahead of me and start believing God and pray the prayer of faith for million all wells when you don't even have one can of cooking oil at home. Don't stretch your faith beyond faith grower. It doesn't live unless by the gift of faith. It grows. So it would be better for you to exercise your faith for a bicycle. If you have bicycle faith, don't try to take bicycle faith and exercise faith for a Mercedes-Benz or for an aeroplane. If you haven't believed God for bicycle, don't try cars yet. Try bicycles first, or try motorbikes first. Because what will happen is, when you are praying the prayer of faith, when your faith level is not developed, and there are signs to show your faith level is not developed, inside your spirit there is a disease. In other words, there is a discomfort. It's just like some of you may have the strength to lift this pulpit with one hand. It can be done. But supposing I make it all of solid uranium, the heaviest metal known, and you try to name it, you could not. And if you try, I will can hear you say, oh, then you know physically you're trying to go beyond your strength, right? So in the same way, spiritually, when your faith level is not there, you try to go beyond your strength, there are sounds of straining. Inside you is, oh. What happened? Your spirit man is saying, no, you lose your peace. You lose your peace. You will know your faith level. Don't try to believe God for $1 million when you haven't believed God for $10. You lose your peace inside. Go according to your faith level. And if your faith is to believe for a motorbike, believe for one first, develop your faith later, believe for a car. Don't try for a car when it's motorbike, hey, because when you do, you believe in God. Oh God, oh that car, oh yes, I pray, I believe, I receive. But your faith level is for a bicycle. So you believe for a car, you stretch. Try to apply Mark 11:23-24. And you stretch and you stretch, in the end you got one car for you. Because your faith can get one bicycle, so you get the equivalent of a bicycle, the wheel of a car. What can you do with one wheel? Ride on it? It will be better for you to believe God for bicycle or motorbike. At least you can go somewhere while you're developing your faith. Rather than keep that old tire that you believe for, one wheel of a car, and that's a specimen, the rest are coming. So let's be realistic about it. Let's exercise our faith. Portions at a time, praying the prayer of faith. I have to add this caution note so that when you learn to pray the prayer of faith, remember the only limitation to the prayer of faith is your own faith level and the will of God for your life. That's the only limitation. And if you learn to develop in all these areas, you will be able to taste the goodness of the Lord, the prayer of faith. You cannot afford to pray if I will or if God's will. Cannot. Don't apply the prayer of dedication to the prayer of faith. No if, no doubting. One doubt can spoil the whole show. And you may have to redo it again. Many people have to keep redoing because they doubt. Because of doubt. You have to release your faith. Don't ever doubt from that moment forward. And some people have to redo it many times before they get results because of doubt. Doubts will eat up that prayer of faith. Don't doubt. Avoid doubt. Like sickness. Coming to prayer for prayer of dedication. In the prayer of dedication, it is a different aspect. It's a prayer of surrender. In the prayer of dedication, you have to put ease. The prayer of dedication is for different things for prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is to receive things that God promised you. Spiritual and physical things that God has promised you. Forgiveness of sins, baptism in the Spirit. All the things that God promised for prosperity. Things. You need a prayer of faith. But when it comes to the prayer of dedication, the prayer of dedication is in order to discover His will and to conform yourself to His will. It takes the prayer of dedication. Let's look in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, at Jesus praying the prayer of dedication. Chapter 26. Jesus praying the prayer of dedication in verse 39 says, He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. So this is a prayer, but different type of prayer. And prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he prayed that prayer, and he came to his disciples. His disciples were sleeping. And he says, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 42. He went again and a second time prayed. Second time he prayed the prayer dedication. Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Notice he used E. He came and he found his disciples sleeping. Verse 44. He left and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. What is Jesus doing? He was praying the prayer of dedication. In the prayer of dedication, you need to use the word "is," because the word "is" means you are willing to do anything. If you are saying, "If it be thy will," you are setting your meter gauge to zero. Your meter on one side says yes, on the other side says no. So when you pray the prayer of dedication, you are setting the meter to zero. If it be your will, yes, I'll follow. No, I will follow. If it be your will, you set it at zero. In order to hear from God, in order to be surrendered to God, and God requires all of us to pray the prayer of dedication. And it's exactly what the prayer does. It calls you to be dedicated to God. Prayer of dedication. Before God can use any vessel, He requires that the vessel dedicate themselves to Him. It's an important prayer. And it may not be prayed only once. It can be prayed several times. Especially when it comes to major decisions in your life. It may require great prayer or dedication before God. Like Abraham, he comes to a stage and he has been blessed by God. He has been blessed with silver and gold and cattle and land. He has been blessed. He has been blessed with children too. Isaac has now grown up. God says, "Abraham, give me Isaac." God requires a prayer or dedication to surrender all to God. The prayer or dedication brings a different result. It's a prayer of surrender. And God will deal with your life until you pray the prayer of dedication sincerely. He won't let you go. Neither will God use you fully unless you pray the prayer of dedication sincerely. And every time before you face a major battle, you have to pray the prayer of dedication. Because the prayer of dedication deals with your motive, while the prayer of faith deals with your blessing. How blessed you are in all ranks. And the prayer of dedication deals with your motivation for service of God. For example, if you are willing to do anything except like go to India. So you are an evangelist and you say, "Oh God, I'm willing to go anywhere, any place, any time. But India." The Holy Spirit will go after you, like He will zoom in on you. And you will say, "Lord, I'll do anything but..." Just like Abraham, you say, "Lord, anything but Isaac." He will go after Isaac. So anything but India, the Holy Spirit will go after you. And you will be convicted under the Holy Spirit until you come to God and say, "God, now I'm willing to go to India." And then God may tell you, "Alright, now you don't have to go." Say, "What?" And God says, "I only want your willingness. Because if I know you're willing, then I can use you." And God wants your willingness to do anything. God wants you. You have to be willing. If you cannot pray the prayer of dedication, you have got to attach to things and to your own plan. You have to keep praying that all your life. "I'm willing to give God everything, anytime. Anytime. At one word from Him, that's it. Everything can go. Anything I possess can just go. All God has to say is, give it. That's it." You have to be willing. If you're not willing, you're not dedicated. You're not dedicated, you haven't prayed a prayer of dedication. And for that reason, God doesn't seem to work through your life that much. It's a requirement of all of us to pray a prayer of dedication. And you must mean it. That means when a person says, "Lord, I'm willing to go to India," the person really means that he's really willing now. And sometimes God may test you also. He doesn't test by sicknesses, he tests by your obedience. Just like he tests Abraham. He tests you. Say, God, I'm willing to do anything for you. That's the most dangerous prayer you ever pray. God will test your words, what you say. Oh God, I'm willing to do anything for you. God says, alright, give your car. Alright, give your house. Alright, let your children go and serve me. But. No but. The other prayer, no if. This prayer, no but. No but. No condition. Anything I'm willing. So this is a prayer that turns the goat into a sheep. Get rid of all your buts. You're willing to do anything, you're willing to sacrifice anything up to your life to do the will of God. This prayer, you notice something about Jesus? He prayed until a breakthrough. Now the prayer of dedication has a breakthrough. Just like the prayer of faith, the breakthrough is a manifestation. You pray, you believe, you receive, and you shall have them. You shall have them is a breakthrough of the prayer of faith, the manifestation. In the prayer of dedication, there's a breakthrough. The breakthrough of your prayers is the impartation of God's grace into your life. God gives you an inner grace to perform. If Jesus had finished praying the first time, tell me why he must pray two more times. Because it took him three times before he reached a breakthrough with the prayer of dedication. He knew after the third time, God has heard and received. God has received him. After the third time, he came and told his disciples, he said, all right, let's arise. It's finished. It's done. He knew there's a breakthrough. The prayer of dedication is not just praying, oh God, use me, okay? Then you quickly go off. Oh God, I give you everything, and then just go off. No, the prayer of dedication is a time of sacred, holy dedication to God. And you wait on God. You wait to hear God. And God confirms He receives you. He receives the surrender. You present yourself, like Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says, present your body as living sacrifice. And then God answers by receiving you. He will answer, and you will know His answer, by the confirmation in your spirit. You may or may not sense something supernatural happening. You may not see an angel like Jesus did. But you will have some form of supernatural witness in your spirit that God has heard you and received your sacrifice. Just like Jesus, He knew at the end of the third prayer, He came to His disciples and He said in verse 46, rise, let us be going. It was finished. The prayer of dedication was finished. So you can look at your notes here. We have said the prayer of dedication involves 3 points here. In A, it involves a willingness to do anything for God. Setting our yes and no meter to zero. It involves doing the will of the Father. Faith is involved in the breakthrough of this prayer. There is an infusion, I call, of assurance. In other words, you know that you know that you know God has received you. God has received you. So this type of prayer also takes time. But the time you spend is usually more in the closet. Let me tell you about this guy. I had his book long ago. I cannot find his book around anymore, and my book is gone. I was bought about 8 years ago, and before I met most of you, and I bought a book because it was an interesting book on the dedication. This brother decided to dedicate himself to God. So every day between 11 p.m. and 12 midnight, he will dedicate 1 hour to God. And he will come to God and give God his body and say, Lord, this is your temple, this is your body.
Body is a living sacrifice. And so one day, after many months, without fail doing it every day, while he was dedicating himself to God, the Lord has surrendered. Whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do. Suddenly, his spiritual eyes seemed to be touched. And he saw his hands became like the hands of Jesus. He saw literally the nail prints on his own hand. He saw like the body of Christ in his body. And he experienced a tremendous supernatural infusion of God's pleasure on his life. God shows his pleasure. And from that day onwards, when he went anywhere, there was an atmosphere of healing about him. He can go to a sick room and people could literally sense help coming before any prayer meet. So that was an example of how a prayer dedication was received by God. Another example is this person whom I heard. And this person decided to wait on God 1 hour every night. It was a dedication to God. I believe the time the person chose was 12 midnight to 1 a.m. So the person waited every night for 6 months. He wanted to do for 6 months. After 6 months, nothing happened. But the last day of the 6 months, the person said, Lord, this is the last night. This is the last night I'm waiting for you. I waited for you. And the moment the person said that, as he was kneeling down, he felt somebody behind him, and he felt a hand on his shoulder. He did not turn around, but when he felt the hand, he knew instantly it was a hand. And then he said, Lord, why is your hand wet? Because the hand of Jesus was on him and the hand was wet. He said, Lord, why is your hand wet? Until he heard the groanings of Jesus. And then he realized that Jesus' hands were wet with the tears that flowed from his face. Jesus was crying and weeping. When he heard that, he cried and he wept. And then Jesus said, I wish that all my people will wait on me. But so few wait on me. They go about doing their own. God has many ways of manifesting himself. Sometimes I go on a fast just to wait on God. Not for any particular thing, but just to wait on God. At least once a week, I will wait on Him. Besides the regular time, I wait on Him. And fast and wait upon Him. Because many times we can plan our own things, do our own things, run here and there. God says, wait. Wait for me. Just wait on Him. Like Gabriel and all the other angels standing in the presence of God. That's what the prayer dedication does. It teaches you how to wait on God. And God says all kinds of things. He does all kinds of things. I remember it was my third fast of 40 days in my early days of the ministry. And one morning in the middle of the fast, as I was waiting on God, I slept. And the next morning, very early morning, I heard the voice of Jesus, sweet voice. He woke me up, and I was staying in the orphanage in the Baptist church. And the voice of Jesus came very sweetly, seemed to come like a breeze. It was the voice that woke me up, and he said, I love you. That was all that the voice said. The moment I heard his voice, I recognized that it was Jesus' voice. And you know, to to hear it from Jesus' own lips is something to experience. I know he loves me. I know his word tells me he loves me. But when Jesus tells you face to face, saying, I love you, there's something about that that just breaks you down. When I heard it, I got up and I cried and I cried and I cried and just get bathed in his love, knowing that he just loved me. So you never know what a prayer dedication can bring to your life. But one thing we know, no Christian can go without it. We all need to pray the prayer of dedication. And you don't just pray at the beginning, you pray all the time, from time to time. Jesus prayed a prayer of dedication at the end of his ministry, before his last. So you pray all the time, all the time. Now we go to the prayer of intercession. The prayer of faith and the prayer of dedication applies to our personal life. Our personal life and our personal vision, which sometimes may involve a bigger circle of people, but basically it's you and God, your vision, your ministry, your call. Exercising your faith and praying dedication and surrender to him. The prayer of intercession involves prayer for another person. And it is different because when I exercise faith for my own needs, it only involves my will. But when I pray for another person, whether for their physical needs or spiritual needs, it involves their free will. I can exercise faith for my things, but to exercise faith for another person involves their free will. And to pray for another person to come into the kingdom of God, or to pray for another person to do God's plan in their life, takes a different form of prayer because their will is involved. And we have authority to exercise power over demonic spirits, but not over human spirits. Even God does not exercise authority over human spirit. He demands that human spirits freely surrender to him. If God has his way, he would want the whole world to be saved. But no, not everybody chooses Jesus. And so, it's because God honors the free will. And the prayer of intercession comes in. See, the prayer of intercession, it's a tremendous influence upon another human being towards God. That's basically what intercession does. It makes it easier for the other guy to respond to God. And the prayer of intercession is continuous. It's continuous. You don't pray once. You continually pray. The only time you stop is when God tells you to stop. But you keep praying until God tells you to stop. You keep interceding. And there are some things that we have to intercede till Jesus comes, like the perfection of the body of Christ. Let's see some examples of the prayer of intercession in the book of Acts chapter 12. Peter was kept in prison, and it tells us here that when Peter was in prison, the church came together in verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer, this intercession, was offered to God for him. Now you know that's intercession. It was prayer for Peter by the church. Intercessory prayer was going up. And remember, when you pray intercessory prayer, it's not the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, you pray once. But intercessory prayer, you notice what they do? Continually praying. Continually praying. Continually praying. Continually praying. It's a different rule now. You continually pray the prayer, and you won't let go until the manifestation comes. Keep travailing, and a lot of deed is done in the spirit. Says, but and in chapter 12, an angel came and set him free. And when Peter was free, he went to the house where they were meeting to pray, in verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And what are praying? Were they prayer? Were they praying? Intercessory praying. Constantly praying for Peter. That is why when Peter came to them, they could not believe that it was Peter. They thought it was the maid thought that it was Peter's spirit that he said has gone. Obviously, they were not exercising faith. They were just holding him up. Oh, Rama, Ziggy, oh, Rama, they just praying. Oh, Lord, we just uphold Peter. Oh, Lord, we just pray over him. Oh, they just praying for him continually. Because when the maid answered the door, she did not believe that it was Peter. Now, if they have prayed the prayer of faith, if you pray the prayer of faith, when the answer comes, you recognize. Now, they are not praying the prayer of faith, they're praying the prayer of intercession. Just intercession is just holding someone up before the throne of God. So that in the presence of God, it's easier for them to respond. Intercession is like carrying someone on your shoulders to God, before God's throne. That's what intercession does. And you keep holding the person there in God's presence until the person is finished with whatever God wants to do in their life. That's why intercession has to be continually offered up before God. And these are the rules and principles that involve a list down for you in 3A. It involves persistence, tenacity. Colossians 4:12 talks about Epaphroditus, how he prayed for the church fervently. He was fervent, constantly praying, intercession. That is why intercession is a full-time job. It really takes constant prayer. It involves a clear objective in prayer. You have to be specific in your intercession. It is not just general praying. You have to pray for somebody like the church was praying for Peter. You have to sometimes name those people you're interceding for. Lay hands on their object. You have to be specific in your intercession. What do you want? Is it their salvation? Is it their freedom? They were praying for Peter's freedom. Intercession is not vague and general. It's specific. What do you want? Their salvation, their healing, or their solution? What do you want? Specify before God. Bring those people to God in intercession. Hold them up. Intercession. Pray before God. So it is specific. And number 3, it involves praying in the Spirit. In most praying in the Spirit, because it's one of the prayers that will pray for all the saints, Ephesians 6:18. The fourth style of prayer is called a prayer of travail. Travailing before God is to, I define it as being one with the ministry of Jesus as a priest. Jesus is right now the high priest interceding for all the church. When you travail, it's mainly in the spirit. But in the spirit, you catch a hold of the spirit of Jesus and you take the burden of Jesus on you, and it's just groaning away for the fulfillment of the totality of God's plan on this earth. And Jesus is interceding for the will of God to be done in every life, in the whole planet, in all of creation. So it's a huge one for this. And we have a little portion of that in what we call the prayer of travail. In Romans chapter 8, talks about this prayer of travail. It gives birth in this type of prayer. The prayer of travail in verse 19 and 20. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the whole creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Talking about the whole creation. Then verse 22. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, it's slightly different from intercession. Intercession is specific. Intercession could be in the known language as well as in the spirit. But here, it's talking about groaning. It's feeling the pain of something not in the will of God. It groans. It goes to a deeper level than intercession. Because it is universal. Whereas in the intercession, it is specific. Here it's universal. It's just taking a part of the spirit of groaning. Groaning for the world to be perfected. And it takes a deep level of prayer, and it's all done in the spirit. None of the understanding. All done in the spirit. It's a very deep level. It is much better experienced than explained. So we have here, it involves yielding to the spirit within. It involves carrying the Lord's burden. He's a high priest carrying our burden. And it is pure prayer in the spirit. And that you can enter when you have a lot of time. It takes time to get into that. And you really groan away. And I love it when we get into that kind of atmosphere. It has come on us from time to time. It takes the anointing to move into that realm. Number 5, prayer of praise and thanksgiving. You will notice that in Philippians 4, verse 6, it tells us to pray your prayers, making requests before God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In other words, learning to praise and worship God. And we have given single definition of what each one means. Thanksgiving is given because of the works of God, what God did. Praise is given because of who God is. Like you extol his greatness, you extol his omniscience, you extol his power. That is praise. But worship is adoration. Worship is when you are in deep communion, just loving him and he loving you. So understand this area. And remember, we always must have thanksgiving all the time. Thanksgiving is emphasized a lot in the Bible. We must learn to thank God when our prayers are answered. And when we pray, you must remember what he has done to help you to pray now. Every time you pray, offer your prayers with thanksgiving. Remember what he's done. Talk about what he has done. And it will work for you. Every time you want to pray, think about what he has done and thank him first. Then after thanking him, praise him. Then praise and you worship him. Then you can offer your prayer. I remember in a prayer meeting, you may not have time to do all those things. That's why sometimes you have times like Sunday worship where we do worship. But all the time you have to have those times of prayer. Sometimes it helps you. When you are in God's presence, you don't have to. You could just straight away enter into prayer, intercession, or groaning. When you have lived a life of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. worshiping in the Spirit is also involved, and the singing in the Spirit. And then finally, we come to styles of prayer. There is different ways that you can do prayer. All the different types of prayer you can do different ways. You can have overnight prayer. Jesus prayed overnight in Luke 6:12. You can have constant prayer. There is either waiting through the night or a chain prayer. You could have corporate prayer, group prayer. You could have fasting and prayer with a greater intensity. So these are different styles of prayer that you can have. And also, prayer need not necessarily close your eyes. You can open your eyes and pray. Jesus in John 17, verse 1, lifted up his eyes and prayed. All these are the different forms by which the five types of prayer that we discuss can take. We could have a praise and worship night, but through the night we just worship him. Most of the time we mix with different types of prayer. We pray that you'll be familiar with all these things. That is why in our church we offer all types. We have overnight prayer before holidays, when we have public holidays, and we have constant prayer, time to time organized, and a corporate prayer, all the different forms of prayer we want to participate. Praise God. Will you stand together with me? Father God, we praise you and thank you for your word. We pray, Father God, from this day forward that you would teach your people the different avenues and forms of prayer so that they would be able to pray rightly before you. And they would have results in their prayer life. That they would build their prayer life up, O God, in the depth that you would have them to have, Father God. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will get a hold of each one of our hearts and lives, and tonight cause us to rise in the heights of prayer. We pray for your people to enter the prayer of faith, enter the prayer of dedication, enter the prayer of intercession, enter the prayer of groaning and travail, enter into praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Enter into your very presence in all kinds of prayer. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit and for your word. And even tonight we pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would teach and will guide us continually in the different forms of prayer, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Now tonight, just before you go, are there any one of you, the prayer of faith and prayer of dedication, that you could pray privately in your life? But is there any one of you who have not experienced prayer of groaning and prayer of groaning in any form, then we just want you to come forth, and we pray that God would come upon your life in such a way that he would be able, when you go forth, to be able to groan in your own life and pray in your own way. Praise God.